Hello, my name is Elijah Nair, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on the side of 12th Hour, Libertyville, Texas. Today is September 30, 2017, or it's history 11, 2021. We will start our first service on the seventh day Sabbath with a song entitled Our Policies. My Yah has gone so wondrous fine, and Mother texture filled, his fragrance reached to the heart of man, with joy not being thrilled. Out the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal law made my Savior go. His life had all so sorrow sore, for aloes had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal law made my Savior go. His garments too rich yet with healing and attack. Each time I feel as I'm sin has left, he cut me from this blood. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal law made my Savior go. And garments glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal law made my Savior go. Gospel of the Kingdom, Part 1. That's spelled YAHSPEL. Matthew 24. Matthew 24:14. It says that, and this gospel, YAHSPEL, of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Alright, it doesn't get much plainer than that, folks. Now, all through the years, Adventists, they taught that the three angels' messages was the everlasting gospel. And they thought that that was the everlasting gospel of Revelation 14. They quoted this all through the years and finally got tired of it. They quit quoting it, but nevertheless, Revelation 14, I think it's about 6 and it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people." Now, when it says everlasting gospel, it's talking about there's only one gospel that's everlasting. And that's the one that is being taught here in the 12th parabolic hour by the house of David. It's the only everlasting gospel that there can be. Okay? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 4 now. And let's read verse 23. "And Yeshua went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Now, Yeshua also taught the everlasting gospel. Okay? So, in other words, the everlasting gospel has been taught ever since Yeshua first taught it here in Matthew 4:23. This is our first scripture in the KJV that mentions the gospel. There's 101 times in the KJV that the gospel is mentioned in 95 verses. And Matthew 4:23 is where it's first taught. Now, in Matthew 9:35, it goes on again, and it says, "And Yeshua went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So now, in order for people to know that you have the everlasting gospel, the first sign that you will show that you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to repeat exactly what Yeshua did and the disciples that he left in charge of the kingdom here on earth is to have healing powers. Now, if you can show that you have healing powers, then you can prove that you have the everlasting gospel. Now, Matthew 11:5, it says, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So, Yahweh has raised me and my wife Catherine up to preach this here everlasting gospel of the kingdom, starting right here in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Verily, we have to be in a position to represent the same thing that Yeshua represented. We have to be in perfect unity and harmony with heaven and the new and living way, Yeshua. And we have to be in harmony with all of his statutes and judgments. We have to be completely sealed by the sanctification of the Sabbath day and all the holy Sabbaths mentioned in Leviticus 23. And so therefore, when we have all of this come together, then it will be time for, there'll come of an appointed time when Yahweh will say, it's time now to go to the people. The people are gathering here in the Austin area and the surrounding suburbs. For you can go to the trailer parks anywhere, and you can't find an empty space. And each one of them trailer parks have people coming every day, five or six or a half a dozen people wanting, needing a trailer spot, a spot to park their trailer. And so therefore they're coming in to Texas. The last report was 1,000 people a day. And they're coming into these fast-growing places, these metropolises around these cities. Here in Austin, Houston, Dallas and Fort Worth, and all of these here major cities. People are flocking to them because that's where they can best find a job. And so it says that... In Matthew 26:13, verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the world, a whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. All right, now we go back on to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. For the beginning of the gospel of the Yahshua Messiah, the Son of the Yahweh. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 1, and let's see what that's all about. It says, for the beginning, I put the preposition there, that's not there. For the beginning of the gospel of the Yahshua Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, the Son of the Father, of His Father, Yahweh Elohim. Mark 1:2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, who was this messenger? This was John the Baptist. Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua. Make his path straight. And that's actually pronounced Yahushua. Y-A-H-U-S-H-U-A. Make his path straight. So that's what we're called to do, because we have the John the Baptist work. We have that work to do, and so we are to make his path straight. Verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of the repentance for the remission of sin. And it says John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of the repentance for the remission of your sin. Now, you have to repent first, and you have to come up to the sanctuary, and you have to worship at His holy temple. And for Israel, that call is for twice a day. At least at the third hour and the ninth hour, more preferably the sacred hours of the day. Verse 5, Mark 1. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of the Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of the Jordan, confessing their sins. Oh, wow. Here they come, see? And John was clothed with a camel's hair, and with a girdle of his skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And priests said, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of his shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with the water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Yeshua came from the Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway come up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descend upon him. And there came a voice from the heavens saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of the Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put into the prison, Yeshua came into the Galilee, preaching the gospel, YHSPEL, of the kingdom of Yahweh. And saying, for the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So then believe it. So whatever the messenger of the hour is preaching, that is the gospel of the kingdom. It's a message of the gospel of the kingdom. And it says, believe the gospel and repent and be baptized when that time comes. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Yeshua said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into the Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Yeshua of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Israel. Now here is a man that's no doubt possessed with an unclean spirit. And he knows who this Yeshua is. How'd he know? Well, it's because he was one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's how he knew. And Yahshua knew who he was. And before he got in that condition, no doubt, he had met up with Yahshua and got acquainted with him. Verse 25, Mark chapter 1. And Yahshua rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with the authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. You see what's going to cause the Gentiles and the Adventist spiritual Israel today sit up and take notice here one day when they see this being repeated again by Yahweh's appointed servant for this hour. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of the Simon and Andrew with the James and John. And Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anon, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with the devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of the divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me a clean. And Yahshua, moved with the compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And folks, this is what we are called upon to be able to perform for the people today, that are out there sick and afflicted there all over by the millions. We've got Yahweh given us a healing ministry. We've had great success with it for 20 years, but we're going to have greater success from this day onward, from here on. Because the times, the signs of the times calls for this to start taking place. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing unto any man, but go thy way. Show thyself unto the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which the Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Yahshua could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So all they have to know is that where you're at. And once they know where you're at, and they know that you possess this power to heal them, they will come to you from all over the world. Okay, that ends Mark chapter 1. All right, we're going to fast forward now to Mark chapter 13. And start with verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Yahshua answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Yahshua answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of the wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famine and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed unto yourselves, for they shall deliver you up unto the councils, and unto the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now you get that? The gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, there is a similar scripture in Matthew 24:13, and let's go read it right quick about this word endure. It says that, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now let's read Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Then it says, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, we've read that before. And we go back to Mark 13 again, and we'll read now again verse 13. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay, but it says in verse 14, but when ye shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by the Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee unto the mountain. So Mark 13 is essentially telling about the same story, some of it, that Matthew 24 is telling. Okay, Mark 13, verse 15. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which Yahweh created unto this time, and neither shall be. And except that the Yeshua has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. That's Matthew, or at cross-reference, Matthew 24, 22, 25. Verse 21, Mark 13. And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Messiah, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For the false messiahs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders for the seducing, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of the heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with a great power and glory. And then shall he send his angel, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth unto the uttermost part of the heaven. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in a like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And we're in the last generation, folks. We're in this, we have entered into this last generation. This last generation is in the 12th parabolic hour. We entered into that in 2002. Okay, let's go continue on. Verse 31, Mark 13. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. When it says knoweth no man, that means no common ordinary person that is not a part of the leadership of this kingdom, that is leading out, proclaiming this gospel of the everlasting kingdom of heaven. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Well, I don't understand that statement altogether, because I believe that the Son is with the Father in his bosom. I believe that there could be a better explanation of this, in which the old English translation makes a better translation of it. They're saying, no man knows, not even the Son, but the Father maketh known unto his servant. Because it goes on to say that there in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about his servants. And I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says in verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Yahshua so cometh as a thief in the night. You know that. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, these are the chosen ones that have been sealed and anointed, are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not in the darkness. See, that day came in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. And I was made aware of it several years ahead of time. I was made aware of it at least 3.5 years before we separated down at Kermit. And I gave warning unto them that during that period of time, you are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of the salvation. Now that hope is a very important word. Hope of the salvation. It says, for Yahweh hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, who died for us. All right, now here's Paul is telling these Thessalonian Gentiles who died for us. In other words, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Paul said so in another place. He said there's no difference. Gentiles are brethren to their brothers, the Jews. And Jews actually is a short for Judean from the tribe of Judah, the house of David. Okay, so it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Yeshua, are over you in the Yahweh the Father, and admonish you. And for the esteeming them very highly and the love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, the patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh in the Yeshua Messiah concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of the evil. And the very Elohim of the peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, Elohim, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Savior that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Savior Yahshua Messiah be with you. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. That ends 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now we're going to go back to Mark 13. It says, verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. No. But you know that it's by the signs of the times, you know that it's when it is approaching, very near. And so it says that you are to watch therefore, for you know not the time, but it will be revealed to you when that time gets right there. It will be revealed to you. If you are patiently enduring and watching and praying. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority unto his servants and unto every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. Now you see, he said he commanded the porter to watch. So who's the one responsible? Who is this porter? Well, you can go to John chapter 10, and John talks about it. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto him, unto all, watch. Okay, so if you watch every day, and you rise every morning unto the Yahweh and his Son, and you beseech him for daily instruction, then he will give you your daily instruction, and you need not fear. Because he is your leader. That's what he set the example with the disciples for 3.5 years. He went out before them every day. Every day. And they were instructed on a daily basis. But they were only instructed as they were told, well, we're going to go to Samaria today, or we're going to go by the coast of Zidon. We're going to go here, or we're going to go there. The disciples They had to wait for the information on a daily basis. They didn't know from one day to the next what they was going to be doing and preaching and doing. Well, that's the same way with us today. We inquire on a daily basis, and He gives us our instructions. All right, that's the ends of Mark chapter 13. Let's go right on into chapter 14. After 2 days, verse 1, after 2 days of the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Him by the craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of the ointment of the spikenard, very precious. And she spake, and she brake the box, and poured it upon his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. This was an essential oil, folks. And no doubt frankincense or myrrh. And said, what was this waste of the ointment made? Verse 5 of Mark 14. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given unto the poor. And they murmured against her. And they? Who is this they? I know Judas Iscariot was a ringleader of this disciples that murmured. No doubt we had a Thomas probably there. Old Doubting Thomas was right there with him. And a few of those lesser disciples that were not as vocal as like Peter and others. In verse 6 of Mark 14, and Yahshua said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come beforehand for the anointing of my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this Yahshpel, YAHSPEL, shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of the water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye unto the good man of the house. For the master says, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Then make ready for us. And the disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Yahshua said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. Yahshua knew this. Because he knows what's in the heart of every man, especially those that he has chosen to be his disciple. And Judas is one of them. But he knew the heart. And we can also determine by a person's actions what's in his heart. And That's what we had. We had that right here in our midst. We had a man that was with us for 33 years, and he betrayed us. He tagged along for 33 years. He was here for the loaves and the fishes. Lo and behold, he was here for the loaves and the fishes. But he had a great talent. And Yahweh blessed him tremendously through those years, monetarily and health-wise and with all kinds of wisdom. This man is smart. But he ended up betraying the Yahshua, his master, and betraying the household that he would sit apart with. Mark 14:19, and they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? Another said, is it I? See, people, the disciples didn't even know their own hearts. Not a one of them could go up and say, well, Yahshua, I know it's not me, because I know what's in my heart. I know it's not me. You know? But they couldn't do that, because they haven't yet been purified and sanctified wholly. And he answered, verse 20, and he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Yet were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Yahshua took bread and blessed and brake it and gave unto them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it unto them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of the Yahweh. When they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of the Olives. And Yahshua saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and his sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Yahshua said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So they all said it. Well, I said they all. Judas didn't say it. Talking about the 11 faithful ones. And they came unto a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrow unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth him sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Considerest not thou watch 1 hour? Or couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So we're supposed to watch and pray that we not be that we not enter into any kind of temptation. For the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he had returned, he found him asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now they wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now this is exactly what took place in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Now pay attention to this. I've always wondered about this here. Three times that Yeshua approached his sleeping disciples. And the third time he says, It is enough. So sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. This is the 12th hour. The 12th hour has come, 2002. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So when Brother Johnson didn't accept that message I gave him July the 14th, 2002, and call a church meeting and deliver that message to them, this is the same thing as betraying the Son of Man into the hands of sinners. And who were those sinners? The Seventh-day Adventist Church. They were waiting. There was a remnant waiting there for Verlis Johnson to make the right decision. Instead, he betrayed the Son of Man afresh, put him to an open shame. As then Ezekiel 9 angel then has to go into operation, the Ezekiel 9, and has to go through the city, the Adventist Church, put a mark upon those that sign and crown for the abomination, set them aside, and then command the slaughtering angels to go after those that don't have the mark and begin at my sanctuary. And that's what happened. It began at his sanctuary in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, started with the ancient men before the house, Ezekiel 9:6, and that Brother Johnson was the ancient man before the house. It started with him, and it has gone through the city. No doubt the 144,000 are marching set apart, waiting for the appointed time when they will appear with the Lamb. That's what it's all about. Verse 42, Mark 14. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So that was Yeshua saying to the disciples, Rise up, for he that betrayeth me is at hand. That was Judas Iscariot. He said, He's right here. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords, and stays from the chief priests, and the scribes, and the elders. So when did Judas show up? He showed up at the 12th hour. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Yeshua answered and said unto them, Are you come out as against a thief with swords, and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you taught me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. They all forsook him and fled, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Okay, it says, And they led Yeshua away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, and the elders, and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servant, and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for the witness against Yahshua to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain of and bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with the hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without the hand." But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Yahshua, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Messiah, the son of the blessed?" And Yahshua said, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of the heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of the death, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with the Yahshua of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou said." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say unto them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied again, and a little later, they that stood by said again unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And a second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Yahshua said unto him, "Before the cock crows three times,
thrice,
thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thereof thought thereon, he wept. Well, this brings in verse 36. Our contact is at the 11th hour, calling us number 11. Click on this 11th hour. Click on this website for, as you hear this message anymore, we're going to close now with a song. Until then. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here. This bad stepping stone along a trail that's winding always up there. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, the joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day Yah calls me home, the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause a heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on until the day that behold our Savior. Until that day that calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon that is released, is destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day must behold the seeking. Until the day your call. Oh.